Alam nang in season.
New to betting? EasyBet.co.za makes it simple, fun, and exciting, even if it's your first time. Sign up now and score a 50 Rand sign-up bonus with no deposit needed. Just use the promo code SHADYPH and it's yours instantly. Looking for more? Your first deposit gets you a 150% bonus up to 1,500 Rand. That's more to play with and bigger chances to win. But wait, there's more. EasyBet will match your first bet up to 500 Rand, so you're getting extra play without extra spend. And even if luck's not on your side, they give you back 15% of your losing bets every week. Now that's backing real players. And the best part is, there's even more waiting when you join. So head on over to easybet.co.za now and check it out for yourself. T's and C's apply. EasyBet Group Pty Limited is licensed and regulated by the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board. No persons under 18 may gamble. Winners know when to stop. Well, all right. You're going to learn today. What's going on? It's another episode of the Shady Podcast. My name is... Sheesh, I look good on camera. PH.
Surprisingly good.
Considering the condition
you're in, Los. Nice.
I mean, I'm hungover, but... My name is PH, and that guy over there is
Shady Luke,
aka Kojiro, aka.
Oh, yeah, Hamas. I'm Kojiro now.
And today we have an amazing guest. If you've ever tuned into, sheesh, this guy's been everywhere. If you've ever been in KZN and you tuned into East Coast Radio, if you ever tuned into 5 FM at some point in your life, and now I think the country's most commercially.
Successful commercial radio station.
Yeah.
Come on.
His name is Mcezy James and he's in the building. Make some noise. Thank you.
Even though...
Did I mess it up?
He didn't make any noise. He just took a sip there.
Oh. I didn't know he was going to say make some noise, bro.
My bad.
And I wasn't on camera. But I feel like you can't like shy flate for Okus on 9 4.
No.
That's
a bit ghetto.
Yo, fist bump, man.
How you bad?
Good. Tired, just like you, but for different reasons. I know when Ubuntu you were out last night, but we had Joburg Day.
Yeah.
And that thing always takes it out of me, eh?
Is it? Besides presenting on stage, because I know you. You are a man of many
talents.
Businesses, I know you've got your finger in the pie somewhere.
No, don't worry about it.
Did you have your own marquee there?
No, sponsored marquee.
I'm sure his production company was doing it.
Yeah,
we did all the marquee there.
I had to go check up on all the marquees to make sure the coffee's still good. No, I'm just working the normal stuff, but it is always a working day.
Yeah.
But on top of that, then you, of course, as you know, they make you go mingle with clients. So,
yes.
And then, of course...
Well, it's also an opportunity for everybody to see the voice they know from the
radio.
Exactly. You can't be that guy. Like, now you're chilling backstage there in your trailer.
No, you're right.
You know what I mean? You've got to make an appearance. You've got to do your little...
Exactly. Especially because then those same clients are more inclined to spend on your show.
Yes.
And when your name pops up, if they've never heard of you...
And spend on you.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll be like, yo, send us that brew.
Yeah.
Listen, this guy, and I was saying to him when we were in the parking lot, I'm like, I'm surprised to see you not in another sponsored car. There's nothing in Mcezy's life that's not sponsored.
No. Sponsors love Mcezy.
Yo... His middle name should be sponsored.
You have to watch him. I remember at Coles, right? When you used to operate there.
Yeah.
He has like a way with people. It's like people arrive and they're like, oh, because it's Mcezy James, you just trust.
Yes.
He's just like, hey, he knows everybody by name.
Yes.
I was training there as long as he was selling coffee there. My brother. I come in the morning, I'm just like, how are you, booty? Are you, girl? You know what I mean?
Sure.
He knows everybody by name. Mm. People, you understand, like people gravitate towards him and he just like works the room.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I can imagine the sponsors are lining up.
It helps having a black and white name.
Yeah. And you know who gave me that name? Funny enough, it was Gareth and Randall back in the day. So the first thing I ever did was Idols. So years ago, 2013, I was on Idols.
No way.
And I used to go by my full name. And
then what is your full name?
Mcezy James Matinane.
Okay.
And back then it was Mcezy James Hatebe. It's a long story. We'll get into it another day.
Yeah.
But they were like, drop the Hatebe. Just go with Mcezy James. It sells better. And I was like, oh, okay. And that's literally since then I've just gone by Mcezy James. Because Mcezy James is my second name.
Yeah.
Okay.
But so I think people are out here thinking it's your surname.
So many people. Yeah. Because they think I'm Xhosa. And then they go, oh, James. There's a lot of James as well.
No, there's also a lot of Zimbabweans with the...
Okay. There we go.
With the surname, that's a name. This is like Gideon John.
Oh my God.
You know what I'm saying?
Gideon John. James.
Yeah.
Love more James. Yeah. But to get back to the whole sponsor thing, I think it definitely helps to not be... To be overly salacious or try to be a shock jock. You know, me, while I'm not afraid of ever speaking my mind on radio or in general, I don't go out with the intention to go and shock people every time I'm on air and leave them going, what did he just say? It happens. If somebody says a comment and I throw it back and it shocks you, that's fine. But I'm not intentionally being
salacious. You're not trying to be controversial.
And so while I would never say I'm always safe or I'm the safe bet.
You are the safe bet, though.
I think there's a lot of people who are way safer than me as far as a bet is concerned.
You reckon?
Oh, of course they are. I mean, I think I've got a fine balance. A fine balance of, like you're saying, I think what's also helped me with radio is exactly what you're saying. I try my best to be incredibly personable. A people's person. I think when I was listening to radio growing up, one of my least favorite things about my favorite presenters is that I knew nothing about them. On a personal level. I didn't know Fresh was married until I got into the industry. I didn't know he had kids. I didn't know Garrett's life at all. I didn't know where he even went on the weekend.
You didn't know that Gomez has been the same age for 50 years.
Exactly. So for me, when I got into the industry, I was like, one thing I do want to do slightly different is be a lot more personable. So anyone who's listened to me for years knows everything. I mean, that's why you can't even like come with files about me. Because I've told you about my financial problems, about when I owed the bank this, when I had to show up to court for that. You know, I've told everyone, so you can never use it against me in the future. And also then you can relate to it.
I was about to say, it makes you very relatable. Yeah.
I tell people about when I was 18 and the bank, when I was 21 and got my first job at East Coast Radio. And the bank approached me and said, would you like an overdraft? I said, I don't know what it is, but is it money? And I took it. And I took a credit card that was way too much, way more than my salary. Overdraft was way more than my salary. And I made those mistakes that I paid for 5 years after that, you know. I couldn't get a bond for 5 years. I couldn't get a new car for 5 years because I'd messed up by buying the first one with a huge balloon payment, you know. So I share those experiences. Even when my wife and I go through things, like recently we just lost our baby. So she was 7 months pregnant.
Yeah.
And we lost our baby.
Man, pregnancy. Sorry to hear that, bro.
Thank you, my brother.
I did not want to ask.
No.
Speak about, I was like, that. Okay, cool.
No, I share all these type of things because I'm like, you know what? Not only does it make me more relatable, which it does, but also I know there's a lot of people who've gone through the exact same things. And it's okay to speak about things.
Got you.
Because one of my favorite sayings is smart people learn from their mistakes, but wise people learn from the mistakes of others. You know, so if I can
power to this,
if I can give you some of my mistakes, so you don't have to go through them, the better.
But how did you find a wife? Because you know I'm struggling.
No, bro, guys like this are not like joking. People like this. You understand? You're not gonna find him, CZ James. This is also very important, right? In one's career arc in radio, we all end up, you know, like you get on radio, then what do? You start DJing.
You become a DJ. Yes.
You become a DJ, you're in the clubs. You're in the clubs, you're at Diamond Walk. You're at Diamond Walk, mind you, ulala mo 6 you have to ask FNB to increase your e-wallet limit.
Come on.
They're fine with the limit of 3,000.
Got you.
Yeah, bro. They never even
We'll never offer. Use it.
No.
We'll never
they
use it.
They learned the lesson on my overdraft.
Yeah, exactly.
You see now.
Exactly. So, I mean, I learned the lesson.
You have a very clean brand in that way.
Yes.
But like I say, off air, the Brewer in his daily, I used to see you every single day for what, 2 years, 3 years? You know what I'm saying? I was like, hey, this Brewer, you understand? That's how you find a wife, Mganwam. Yeah. You are doomed.
Ah, but at least I'm starting there at the gym every day. Now,
which gym?
I'm at Gold's.
No, the wrong gym to find a wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not the one you go to find a wife. That one. That's
take
one.
It from me.
That's where you go lose your wife.
No.
You lose your wife at Gold's.
That's nonsense. Hey,
shout out to Gold's Gym. It was their 5th birthday on Saturday.
Shout out to Gold's, man. I love those guys.
Shout out to Gold's Gym. I found a wife at Gold's Gym.
Oh, did you?
No.
I'm finding a potential
wife.
For the month.
He's finding baddies at
Gold's. The problem with Gold's, and shout out to Rob, shout out to Dave, I love those people, is that everyone at Gold's look like they worked out before going to the gym.
You can't just come there
overweight. Everyone's already been exercising at home and then they go to Gold's afterwards. They come there sweating already and you're like,
they were headhunted. Devin used to run to work.
Really?
Yeah, dog, that guy was always running.
And he lived in Hyde Park, so you'd ride all the way to...
Check what I'm saying.
Come on, I know, man.
I saw that and then I was like, I also lived in Hyde Park. I was like, me, I can eat it. Kyo. I got to gym. I Ubered home. Then I know sing to me and get right.
No, I found my wife in high school, brother.
Nah.
My wife is my high school sweetheart. So we dated. She's 2 grades below me. I was in matric. She was in grade 10. And as always happens, I left school like you should when you're done matric. Yes. And then we broke up because I was like, I can't be dating a high school kid now.
You've been a wise gent. Been a solid gent.
Yeah, so then yeah? We broke up.
What do you mean? You broke up because she was still in school?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so she was still in school.
So when you matriculated, she was going to grade 11.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I said, I can't be in university
yeah,
now dating
a girl in high school. Yeah.
Why, my man?
Up at 10.
Several reasons.
Back then, he was only 19.
Yeah, but...
So it's like, he's out, but he's not out.
Here's the thing.
I mean,
she's 2 grades younger than me,
old,
but she's 3 years younger than me.
Okay,
so,
okay.
But on top of that, it was also like, I think... And it's a good thing that we did that because I didn't want to be tied down when I was going to go live my best years.
Yes.
So then we broke up for 5 years. Never saw her again for 5 years. Didn't see her, didn't speak to her.
Changed cities or?
I moved. I left town. I moved out of home the day I matriculated. Oh, yes. Or the day after I matriculated. I lived, do you know where Zinkwazi is?
Zinkwazi.
Up north, Pastanga.
Yes.
I moved to Zinkwazi. I was a surf coach. I was a lifeguard at that summer camp that all the kids go to, Sugar Bay.
Where's home? Eteguin.
Hillcrest, kahle.
Hillcrest.
Yeah, so I'm born and raised there. So I left and then I didn't see her for a long time, maybe like 5 years.
Mm.
Happened to be in New Year's in Mozambique, Ponta do Ora, as all the KZN people do. I went there for New Year's with some friends and my hometown friends.
Yes.
And she was there with that same group of people.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I saw her again. That was 2017.
And now she was out of school, also had gone varsity.
She had grown up. You know, it was legal.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she had finished
legal all along, man. What is wrong with you?
She was 16.
Huh?
She was 16.
Warwick, shut up.
Warwick, please, man. And yo, my sponsors are watching this, so I can't...
Real, please cut that.
Please. No, so then I saw...
You were saying?
I saw in Mozambique, we kind of caught up, and then when we got back from Mozambique, which was, I guess, 2017, we got back together. So we got back together.
But you were at 5 then, eh?
No, I was at East Coast. So we got back together. We started dating. I asked her to be my girlfriend, really. 3 weeks later, I got the call from 5FM.
Mm.
So then we did long distance for 3 years.
Shit.
But luckily, I was filming...
Oh, okay. You were up in Joburg.
She was finishing her degree down at DUT. And so then, I was still filming...
Why people go to DUT?
Yeah, the arts one.
Oh,
white people with black boyfriends.
She just wanted to be part of the culture.
Why do people go to DUT?
White people with black boyfriends.
No, doesn't DUT have like 5
back
campuses?
On.
Yeah.
Oh, back on.
Especially the artsy one.
Yeah.
Especially the ones who can't afford Vega. I think she went to varsity college and then went to DUT or something like that. On NASFIS.
Sure.
Then we did long distance
white
for 3 years.
White people get NASFIS?
No, stop it, dude. NASFIS is for everyone who can't afford.
My bad.
I'm starting to doubt the story. DUT.
DUT.
NASFIS.
I'm telling you. She was named by NASFIS.
But then, you're a powerful guy, man. can I get in? No, it's my boyfriend.
That's so funny. No, then luckily I was still shooting my TV show down in Durban. I was on a TV show. Don't worry about it. And it was every week, so I had to fly every week.
Show?
It was called the Big Brand TV Show.
On one KZN.
No, stop it. By then it was on Mnet. But it was one of those game shows. You know they were like fillers. It was like the length of the advert.
Yes,
it was like all of
like five minutes
long.
Yeah.
Yes.
In between, like it would play at like 5 to
exactly.
6 before
exactly.
a goal.
Before Survivor or something.
Yes.
So I did that. It used to be on ETV, then it moved to Mnet.
Yeah.
So, but that was shot in Durban and I still had like a 7-month contract. Mm. So I would see her still because every week I'd have to fly to Durban to film that thing. She'd pick me up and then I'd shoot in the morning, come back for drive.
She'd pick you up at the airport?
You'd shoot in the morning and still do drive?
Yeah. I'd fly in after the drive show. I knew exactly what time to get to the airport to just walk through. So by 7 o'clock, the 7:05 flight, it used to be like Mango back then, would take me right back to Durban, land at 8, she'd pick me up from the airport, go back to my apartment, still have my apartment there. And then the next morning I'm shooting. And then literally as soon as I'm done shooting, fly right back for drive. That was like 7 months, almost close to a year doing that. And it helps as far as seeing my girlfriend, but it was tiring.
But you see, dude, like when you have a white bay, She picks you up at the airport.
Yeah.
I guess maintaining. She could have been like, I find your own way. Now you're going to be late. You must drive because Umelama Uber and they're fighting with the meter taxi guys. Like, you don't need,
no, I got
you
lucky.
Don't need these problems, though.
No, I got lucky. I got very lucky with her. And yeah, since then, and then she moved in after she was finished with the degree. And we went from long distance for 3 years into like immediate lockdown. I think 2 weeks after she moved in.
2020, yeah.
Crazy.
Immediately, like 2 weeks after she moved in, we went into that first hard lockdown.
Oh, well, and that's, my brother, that's where babies come from.
Well, we got two dogs
stuck together, man.
That's when I knew it was her. You know, that's when I was like, okay, I'm going to marry this one.
Solid.
Because we've been through the most now.
Yeah.
We've been through the most. And I, especially like you said, when we were all DJs, when you join 5FM, you have to become a DJ.
Ish. Yeah.
And so...
It's like a brand extension. It's not even like a thing of, I want to be a DJ. It's not to say you don't want to, but it's like, it's stupid not to.
Yeah. I thought it was because I wasn't getting paid enough, so I had to DJ.
But there's levels to DJing. I mean, for me, I've always respected it.
Yeah.
There was these guys, you know, and then there was like Orion. And there's levels to being like a proper DJ.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Listen, DJing, if we all think about it, just mixing two songs, especially in this day and age with CDJ 2000s, it's easy game.
100%.
You know, and so I played a lot of festivals. I played a lot of, I mean, I had residencies at Rockets, Madison, so News Cafe.
Mm.
And I put her through a lot during that time, you know.
Because now you're out with the groupies now.
Exactly.
See,
I'm out.
And you're a personable guy.
So now I'm talking to a girl and it looks bad.
You check.
You know?
And you were already, your wife is white, so the ones at Madison knew what time it is. They were like, work it, you know? I'm telling you.
Yeah. Anyways, gents, how was
that? You can't lie to me, bro. Like, ask PH, man. Yeah, you'll get exposed.
I'm just going to start looking at PH every time I talk.
Guys, hello, sponsors.
How was your guys' weekend? Let's start.
We are here now.
How was your weekend? But,
no, I was going to ask, do you think, you know, like, the benefits to, you know, building a clean brand? I asked that question because I think in our industry, something to pick up on what you said earlier, everybody wants to have that shock jock element.
Mm.
Everybody's like, fuck it, how do I get views? Let me say some dumb shit. I mean, we've seen in recent times, whether it's open chats or people getting sued for talking about other stuff they're not supposed to talk about.
Losing jobs.
Yes.
Yeah.
It become losing jobs. I mean, Saul was just fired. I was actually shocked. Mm-hmm. I was like, ow. I thought they were going to suspend and let him come back, right?
That was a wild call.
Wild call, you know? And then it's also like, when you have like an MCZ James or whatever, that's built their brand this way. None of these kids are trying to do that. You know, like I look at the new generation that's coming through, they're not trying to do that.
They want to train.
I, for the most part, had a clean brand. I only just got to a point where I didn't really care anymore.
Yes.
But it's because they were fighting with me. I wasn't fighting with them. And then I was like, fuck it. I'm going to have to go this way.
I agree with you. And I don't want to glaze you. Me, I was a big fan of yours, eh?
Thanks.
I was very, I mean, you left 5FM just before I arrived. I remember that you were hosting there with Dumi, and then
just slightly after that,
I arrived. But I used to listen to you religiously. But I'll say, somebody once told me, I think it might have been Anele back in the day, that it's way more impressive to be consistent, you know? And I think in an industry where we see people come and go all the time, and you're right, most people just want their flash in the pan moment, I trended, everyone's talking about me. And perhaps that leads sometimes to brand deals or whatever.
Yeah, but it's difficult to sustain trend.
That's true.
Trending.
You can't trend every week.
You can't trend every week.
And I think I look at some of my, I guess, role models in radio and their longevity. And they've never been salacious. They've just consistently showed up, firstly.
100%.
And consistently put their all into whatever the show was. And I think you can have shows where, yes, everyone's saying, oh, I can't wait to hear what he's going to have to say today. But then you can have shows where you slowly but surely are building an audience. And I think that's what my brand has always been, especially on radio. I mean, like you say, I started at East Coast, did that for 2 years, got a call from 5FM from nowhere. That was because Fresh had gone to Metro. And they had to rebuild a new drive show. And I remember we were all...
So we joined at the same time, huh?
Yes, around the same time. Yeah, I think you guys just arrived just before me or something. But I remember that we were sitting at East Coast and we were all wondering, who are they going to put there?
Sure.
None of us expected that they'd ever call somebody outside of the station. So I went to go join Tando, obviously, on the drive show there. Did that for a couple of years and they gave me my own morning show at 5FM. And then 947 called and gave me a morning show there.
Who was the boss at 5 when you guys...
When I first arrived, it was still Grant. Grant and was it Justine?
Was it Justine?
Justine, okay. Yes. Yeah. Justine and
That's
Grant.
That's when I left.
Yes.
Justine and Grant.
And then before Justine
them, it was
left.
Tim and Aisha.
Yes.
Then
Justine
left.
But I do think I was actually hired by Tim, eh? Because the way I got hired at 5 was so strange.
In that period, Tim was sort of handing over to Grant.
Okay.
Tim's uncle. Shout out Tim's uncle.
Shout out to Tim's uncle.
Shout out Justine as well. I miss you.
Because he sent me a DM on Twitter and said, CZ, can I get your cell phone number? He never called me.
Yeah.
But 2 days later, Grant called me. And I'm like, where would he have gotten my number from? So I assume Tim's uncle had something to do with
it. Yeah, they were working together. That makes sense. And Tim was sort of like phasing out. You're right.
That makes sense. But I think just, I'm way more impressed by people who can consistently show up.
Yeah.
Show up to work, show up with a good face, show up trying to do your best, trying to be the most entertaining and give your all to the people every day.
What about that family grounding? Because I think it's also, there's something to be said about people who've got that stability. Yeah.
That's always attractive to brands. Sorry, I know we're speaking on obviously a family aspect, but if I were ever a brand team, brand manager, someone who's got family grounding, wife, kids.
Is that why we are broke?
That's why.
Guys, I'm also broke, yeah.
It's like, I like that Wallace guy's got two baby mamas. She's somewhere else. I really like him. It's too many kids.
No, it speaks to the stability and I guess the consistency as well that he's speaking about. And that's why it would be easy to, you know, throw anything at this guy because he's going to deliver. You know, there's a solid foundation here.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it's also about picking the right person. Once again, I got lucky with the wife I got. Because even in business, when we were doing the coffee and the restaurants, she really was the backbone of running that stuff. I was the face.
Yeah, you guys did it together.
Yeah, she was all the number crunching and ordering was all done by her. The real behind the scenes work.
And if you take that away, the business crumbles. It's a team,
Me, I was the face. I was the client person. I was the relationship person. I was getting into new buildings for new restaurants. I was setting all of that up. But the real hard work was her. But even on a personal brand basis, with brands that we work with, whatever, I think having somebody like her who not just only helps as far as shooting the content, because she studied graphic design. That's why she was at DUT, because they do graphic design there. But she literally, a lot of my stuff, she's the creative brain behind it too, and she helps in that sort of way. But also just having, like you say, having stability, having a home, so you don't need to get yourself in trouble. I've got a big, beautiful bar outside my house, in my house. My favorite time is being at home. I like watching the rugby from my house. I invite friends over. We have every Sunday we have a big dinner with different groups of friends. And that's how I stay safe. You know, I think I had my fun, especially when I was at five. Yeah. I had my fun for those 4 years where we were out every weekend, sometimes twice a week, even during the week, DJing all over the country. That was fun. And I had it and I got it out of me. And now in my new phase of being a dad, of being a husband, I genuinely enjoy being at my house. We've created such a comfortable, safe spot for ourselves that I don't really need to be out and about doing unnecessary things. You know, nothing.
And you're still, you're only 30?
32, yeah.
The hell? Am I.
No,
In your head.
Yeah, okay. I think you were 32 when I first heard you on radio.
Yeah. Maybe I think you were 32 during apartheid.
Crazy. Speaking of the rugby, the Springboks, Rassie and his selection is starting to... you know what? I think Rassie's an evil genius, right? Like, no, guys, go and lose this game. Suck out all the information and whatever from these guys. So when we play them the next two times, we're going to show them. That's what I think.
Yeah, I think, of course...
I think Rassie can be like, no, guys, lose these games now.
Yeah.
So that...
Or maybe not lose. Don't you think Rassie's also looking at it from a perspective of... Let me try different combinations to see how do all, let's say he's trying three or four different, I mean, there's names there.
So much depth. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, like people will be like, oh, why the fuck is he in?
Yeah.
There's a method behind his madness because he's probably looking at something where even if a player doesn't perform, he sees things where he's like, for that team that we're going to face down the line,
Kumele
ngikhombayine kanjani.
Fair.
And I think, feel like that's how Rassie.
Yeah. Fair. And I don't even think it's just the combinations of players. It's even the way we play rugby.
Yes,
I think the Springboks are going through an identity thing of like, how are we going to play rugby? And I think it's good to get this all out now before the next World Cup and start trying to figure out
things. I think it's a development thing.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah, he's genuinely like developing the team, the depth of the team.
Yeah.
You know, you can't have a situation where... Eben is injured. Team's fucked.
Yeah.
I'm using Eben as an example. Yeah. You know what I mean? That can't work.
Sure.
Jose Mourinho used to say, I'd rather have a star team than a team of stars.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because now Messi is not playing. The team is cancelled.
Yeah,
he's like, nah, I don't. That's not what I want. You know? This is Chelsea days.
Yeah.
Remember Chelsea went on that rampage buying all these players.
Back when I used to support Chelsea.
That's it. And then anytime they wouldn't perform, it would be like to Mourinho, what the fuck's wrong with you? You've got the perfect team. And he's like, no, I don't have the perfect team. I have a team of stars.
Stars.
Yeah.
That like are proving to be unmanageable. So me now, what I want is I want to start a team. Mm-hmm. And obviously he became the chosen one.
The lineup that they announced this morning, totally different team from Saturday's team.
Like, which is also good because it shows the depth of talent that
we're very lucky
in
as a country that we've got so
no
much
shortage,
depth.
Bro.
Where you look at other countries like New Zealand, even when they were doing their selection, or even Australia previously before that, or even if you take a France, there's like one to three players there that you look at and you go, okay, those guys.
Sure.
But the rest of them, they're always they're very young teams also, those other countries, very young teams. So, Tina, we've got the older guys like Bosia and Eben, and then we've got younger guys who are still coming up, and by the time we get to the World Cup, Sasha Feinberg's going to be so refined.
Beast.
Moody's going to be so refined, and then the Hendrickson brothers. So we've got a long, like, there's no part of me that thinks that we can't contest really well and perhaps win the next World Cup because of the level of players, even like we were saying earlier, at club rugby level.
Yes.
You go watch the Sharks and you go watch the Lions and you see some of those players and you go, okay, well, at least rugby's future is safe.
Mm.
There's no fear in that. It's just like you said.
If you go watch the schoolboy stuff, like on Instagram, there's a lot of really like cool content pages where it's almost showing you these up-and-coming schoolboy rugby players. There's this one kid, man, Black Lighty. He looks like Incredible Hulk.
Isn't he the kid is a center from Grey Bloom? But he's deck, but he's fast
hella
as fuck.
Hella deck. Yeah. Fast as fuck. And he looks like that he's kid, mean, you know?
That kid.
Plays expressionless face, but yes. It's
looks
so
like he's
fast.
Been to prison that one.
So fast.
Bro,
it's ridiculous.
He's like, you know,
thing,
man, I don't know. Well, obviously, when I saw the clip, I said a few of his clips were coming up. Mm. And my son was like, he's like Zion Williamson. Of rugby. Remember Zion in America, the NBA guy?
Yep.
There's like these highlight reels of his that are kind of starting
and he's
now.
In
by
high
the
school.
Time that kid gets to like varsity level, my man.
I mean, you even speak of us, the varsity cup is so entertaining.
That's
itself.
It.
And you profitable see? As well.
I mean, especially in Stellenbosch.
Mm. Yeah.
There's nothing like watching there at the Maltese Stadium when they're playing a final. When Stellenbosch is playing.
Ikeez or whatever.
Oh, come on.
20,000.
ZZ James comes through with the experience of having white girlfriend. Nothing like Stellies, brother.
You know, Stellies, brother.
Clippies and
you know when you're there at Stellies, but the Gears.
No, but yeah, at Stellies, grab a horse roll.
Let
grab
me tell
beer.
You.
Tell you what.
Clippies.
I played at one of the... I think, five was a partner.
Yeah, back then. That's when we used to go.
Yeah. On a Monday, bro... it was that's the Afrikaans version of Mukhodu Monday. Was those games?
Yes.
As a Varsity Cup. I had 20,000 people.
I had a hand who won Miss Wits Varsity.
No, I know
it
very well.
Right, and the final was there on the night of the final of my brother. It was like. You know, like, the place was vibrating.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody gave a fuck about the Miss Watwat. But the rugby game.
Insane.
Well, that whole town is built around the fact that they have the university and rugby there.
Yeah.
Maltese is, like, the most important thing.
You know, imagine we could duplicate what we're talking about now from a development perspective. It's like the varsity level, the high school level, the professional level, the national level, with soccer.
Yeah. Oof.
Do you understand? Like, soccer is so disjointed.
Yeah.
There's no, like, there's no soccer school. Do you understand? Like the same way we can list rugby schools right now.
Yeah. 20.
There's no like soccer school.
Wits.
No.
School. Oh, you mean like high school?
Yeah, like Saints Manbani.
Okay.
You know, if there's a grey college, why is there no blue college?
No, or that's what
you
right.
understand what I'm saying?
Because when
at the level as well. It can't just be soccer is offered as a sport.
No,
I'm
you're
talking,
right.
Why is it that there are so many talented... There are talented players. There's no two ways about it. We've got a massive league.
Yeah.
Sure.
Our league is huge.
Yeah.
The money in the league, the teams in the league. We pack out stadiums, 90,000 people. So, but then, it's like, why is it not being developed or how has it failed to be developed? The way South Africa, what's it called? SARU.
Yes, goes in.
What
and
the
does,
fuck is wrong with SAFA?
It's mafia run.
What, the soccer? Because I
so
wonder...
So is rugby,
like,
bro. Rugby's also a mafia, but it's a Felskoon mafia.
But it's business.
I mean, cocky mafia, bro.
I'm going to sound very like, actually, whatever. But I'm just like, the difference between the two, I think, is one is business-orientated and the other one is like mafia-orientated. It's like, it's going to stay here. The other one is like, mafia run. But
how do we grow this thing?
Yes, how do we grow it?
The other one is like, how do we keep this thing?
Yes.
Mm. I don't know, because you're right. I mean, I'm thinking back now to high school. And there were definitely certain schools where you'd go to and you'd know that all they can do is play soccer. But they never got developed.
No.
A perfect example for me would be like when I was in school and we'd play like a Pinetown Boys. We knew Pinetown Boys wasn't a rugby school.
Sure.
They weren't a hockey school.
Yeah.
They weren't going to beat us at hockey or tennis, rugby or netball. They could only beat us really at soccer.
At soccer.
So you wonder why a school like that, where they're already beating all the schools around them and they're known for that, is not developing it to be a Maritzburg college where we know that college is the best hockey school in the country.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, like with soccer, right, if you, I've got family, my nephew was invited to Barcelona for trials, right? He went there. They loved everything. But he's a lighty. He went to go and play his trial when he was 14. He's 16 now. Barcelona is in constant communication with his family. They send what he must do here.
Wow.
How he must train here. There's a rule that comes from there to here, to stay here, to make sure that he puts in X amount of sessions seasonally. They're trying to keep him warm while he's not playing with the team because obviously he's still in school.
Yeah.
But from about grade 11, I was saying to my cousin the other day, we had a funeral, I said, you know what, dude, honestly, fuck it. Send that lighty. Let him go.
Is he at a normal school or a sports academy?
He's at a normal school.
Okay.
Because the school has nothing to do with his soccer career.
Yeah,
that his father played professional soccer. So he had the connections.
Okay.
And in his connections were like, don't even bother. Let's go Barcelona trials. But from that side, this is how they develop young talent. Because imagine he becomes the next Ronaldo.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
The money that's going to be generated over the time of his career makes sense.
Yeah.
If you think about it, that's how rugby is approached. We're developing these schoolboys so that we have a very competitive school league followed by a very competitive varsity league because they're headhunted.
Yeah.
Stelly's going to make you an offer when they see that you're a beast.
Yeah.
You'll have your pick of which university to attend.
No, 100%.
Then after the professional teams are watching who's performing varsity.
Yeah.
So there's this seamless sort of like, you know, like chain.
And it's sad.
Who's this kid now who was playing for, who won basically the final for Ikeez? He's now playing for the Cheetahs. He was the fly half. Bongosi or something.
Okay.
I'm just saying, he was high school now, like I think DHS or one of these schools. Quickly went Ikeez, won, I think he was like player of the tournament. 2 years in a row. Out. Now he's, then he went to go train with the Springboks.
Wow. Yeah?
Went to go train at the Springboks, and then I think Cheetahs were like, bro, it's fine, come develop here, whatever you want, here, you know? That thing is so seldom in soccer. Like, I've got a friend, my best friend, Zaman, he used to play professional soccer, and then he injured himself. He's now like a coach, and selector? Is it? No, not a selector, what's this thing? A scout.
Scout, sorry.
And the conversations that we have are at like the lower league levels, but we've never really spoken about from a high school perspective. So they'll go and pick at clubs more than go look at like at a Bishop's because he's in Cape Town. They won't go to Bishop's and say, ah, no, jersey number 10 is the one.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
You'll find those players at the, there's the ABC League and I think there's three divisions before you get to the Premier League, you know. There the competition is healthy. Like, there's a lot of guys, a lot of clubs. But from a lower level, we struggle with a lot of players.
And it's
identifying a lot of
players. It's you're wasting prime talent and opportunity.
100%. It's part of the reason, like, as soon as you have a son, everyone starts going, Project Mbappe, Project Mbappe. And I said, no, never with my son, eh? You know, we're doing Project Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods, Because, like you're saying, I think trying to get discovered or get any sort of development, regardless of how good you are, is so tough, especially with football, when there's so many people who can play soccer.
Yeah.
Golf is different, my guys. Golf is different. It's a very difficult sport, but also I know that he can't study here if he wants to go.
My son has actually been worrying me to play golf.
Let him do it.
The little one.
Yeah, no, he must do it.
Sean, do you know Sean Smith from Smith's Boxing?
Yeah. Mm.
His son, Roman. I think since that light he was 2, they put a golf club in his hands. He's about 7, 8 now, I think.
Yeah.
And Sean always posts videos. Guys, that light is like a phenom.
Yeah.
They give him the ball and the golf club and he hits that thing. Like, not even
trying.
Like you expect, because he's a lighty, he's going to like stand and he just comes, he goes, wow, Happy Gilmore.
From the time my son
putting,
could stand.
You name it.
From the time he could stand, he's been carrying and hitting balls. I can show you videos where, of course, he's only 21 months old, so he's not doing anything great.
But he can
look down and he can hit a ball. And he's only 21 months old. And so the plan is exactly that.
Project Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods, Baba. That's my retirement plan. That
I loved it.
That's my private jet plan.
No, guys, there's a secret formula. Yeah, you know? Are you picking up?
It starts with
get a white wife.
It starts in high school. Starts with getting them in high school first.
No, take that back.
Okay, sorry.
When did you sing?
That's always the discourse, man. That's why I stopped posting things on Twitter.
Yeah.
So I used to post a lot of, like, when we got engaged, right? Or when we got married. And you go there on your Twitter and it's, what, 4 million impressions? And it's mostly, 90% of it is, oh, well done, congratulations. Sure. There'll always be that one bra.
File.
Will say some nonsense about, like, see, he never has to pay for a weave again. And then the other black women are fighting him. Now it's a big fight on my timeline. It has nothing to do with me. All I said is, what God put together, let no man separate. And now I have to mute my own post because now people are fighting with each other. Who said bright people don't wear weaves? And I'm like, yo, gingena.
I'm dead.
No, it's the worst. Hey. No, it's the worst.
Oh my
it's
God.
It's the worst because it's true. Yeah.
No, white girls wear weaves apparently. I don't know, but that's what I saw there.
Hey, listen, it depends on the white that you get, but yes, they can also be quite expensive. Yo. Even with things like hair and shit that you think you
take. Yeah, but then you must get them from like small towns like I did, where they don't know.
Best, bro.
They only know.
Don't be like us, man. Don't tell me. Fat baddies.
What do you want?
I'm like,
baddies or fucking shit.
They come in with their own security. They went to Dubai last week. What are you going to do?
Listen. The amount of, I mean, I love the gym. I love gold. I love everything about it. But the amount of people who have security.
No, it's too much. It's too much.
Yeah, but remember, security has become like a status.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Where it's like,
because I've seen some of the people that have security at gold. I know them. I know the people who do.
Yeah,
the
I know.
They don't need it.
Especially
they're
that
fine.
Much.
They're fine.
Yeah, especially that much.
Yes.
Also at the gym, guys. No one's coming to the gym.
Not cool. What?
But
fuck
also,
around.
they also sit, because I used to run that juice bar. I always used to think it's so funny because a client will be training around the corner and security's all at the juice bar taking all the chairs.
Yes.
And I'm like, if I really wanted to do something, I'm coming in from the other side. There's a door there by the dungeon.
Yes.
So why are you here? Because you're just there to show off.
You're just there as a status symbol.
It's all nonsense.
Because that's the other thing, you know what I mean? And it's, you know, nothing against Colts. You know, I mad love for Colts. I just moved houses, so I train at Move now. But with both Colts and Move is that they create an environment where the gym is so nice, you feel like you have to be nice.
Yes.
You understand? But now in the niceness competition, we're all wearing aloe yoga. So now it's like, I can't meet them with the aloe.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I can't meet them with the LV gym bag.
No, with the,
what?
You know the one bra used to bring the LV?
Eh?
You know the one bra used to bring the LV?
Yeah, boss.
With the security.
I think I know which one. Yeah.
The LV gym bag.
With the LV gym bag, right? And then it's like, I can't drive my car into the gym. So how do I show people which have arrived? Boom.
Yeah.
Mm. That one even dresses the security in matching gay outfits.
I was looking at this one dolly. I was just like, she's got a cabal, like a 55,000. Well, back in the day, it used to be 55,000 rand, a duffel bag.
Yeah,
Yalu, but it's the new ones. I could see like this one's fresh out the box. I'm just like, a gym bag for 60K.
Oh, man, that's one I showed you yesterday. We're looking at.
Yeah.
I said you cancel was just on a Zempic. That thing moves with, like it's a fashion show.
Oh.
Every time she pull up. You know what I mean?
And what's crazy about it is that, I mean, now we've spoken about them enough. Do they pay you guys to advertise your goals? Ooh. Because
no, BH trains there.
But I was going to say,
let me tell you something. They welcome you anytime because
absolutely.
They changed this man's life.
No,
BH has really been dedicated to gym because of goals, because there's so many hands there.
Yeah.
The man can't get tired. He's not there for the weights.
2 hours.
I wasn't talking about the weights. I was talking about the pace.
No, but with that said, people just assume it's expensive, eh?
No.
And it's cheaper than like...
most gyms.
Mm. It's cheaper than Virgin.
Yes.
You know? And people just assume, oh, because of the people who are there, it must be so expensive.
Yeah, gumnan.
Gumnan lab. Gumnan lab.
Anyways. Gold's gym. Love it. Konji, what were we talking about? What's happening in the world?
We need to pick Mzizi's brain about some of the happenings in the world.
Okay. Yes.
Are you into like current affairs, Mgana?
Very much so.
Yeah, will the sponsors be okay if we talk about...
the politics.
Let me set up nicely for this one. I
saw Mutsipe commenting that he's not into the political or presidential race.
Smart.
Political race.
Smart.
Yeah. He's saying that, but... Do you believe him?
I think it's just like a deflection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. ANC politics is very confusing, but I can't imagine that an outsider would come in and then immediately get that position.
Funding the whole thing.
But I think there's going to be a lot of infighting. And guys, KZN is really important for the ANC. Mm. And so there's going to be a lot of that infighting too. But listen, if I was him, that's very smart. Even Ramaphosa should never have gotten into politics, eh? Mm. Live your life as a billionaire. Yeah. Make your money.
Oh, what are you talking about? Relax, that is the best career move he's ever made. He literally owns everything now.
Yeah, but the problem is that you get scrutinized a lot more when you're in politics. You can be a billionaire.
And be quiet. Good point.
But as soon as you now are a billionaire, but also president or a minister or whatever it may be, now we are watching you do everything.
You can be a billionaire and you can have dollars in your couch and we'll never know.
Exactly. But if you're president,
because
the people there sorting it out actually work for the government.
Yes,
those people are hired by state.
Let me rather phrase it like this. If there's a break-in at your home and you're a president, big story.
It's a big news story.
If there's a break-in at your home and you're a billionaire,
some people are in the Yaxke River. It's over, you know? We never hear about it again.
Yes. So, what do you think of Motsepe as a president?
I don't know. Do you fancy his chances?
Do you think he'd be a good president?
No, so I don't fancy his chances. Firstly, I don't fancy the ANC's chances in 2029 at all. But I would say, I think we've learned from Ramaphosa. Because remember when he came in, we all thought, oh, he's a billionaire, he's got his own money. At least he knows how to run business.
We thought he's tired of eating Ganti.
Ganti. We couldn't be more wrong. But also, what businesses was he running? Like, no one can show me a track record of him running great businesses that weren't given to him, you know? And so I can't say that we need a billionaire president or a businessman president. We've seen it happen all over the world where you hire these billionaires and rich people and they don't do anything better. Yeah. You know? So I don't know anything about
this. There's that story arc of, like, if you do well in business, you move across to politics. Because at some point, you've made so much money and you're so grateful, you really want to have an impact.
Nonsense.
Rubbish. Nonsense. I actually feel like politicians, right? I saw there was some podcast or something that I listened to, man, where this guy, like, the breakdown that he gave for, let's call it the hierarchy of intellect, right? Yeah. People who are your top percentile of intelligent people become rocket scientists, Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Your bottom percentile of intelligence become blue collar workers or laborers, right? And then in the middle there is where we're chopping up now. Depends, you know, what job are you going to end up going and doing? Mm. What business are you going to start? Are you going to be entrepreneurial?
Yeah.
Politicians fall into like the third or fourth percentile. They're like not too dumb, you understand? But they're really not smart.
Yeah.
And they're not smart enough to become that entrepreneurial rocket scientist person. But they're also not stupid. They're very, very sharp for the wrong things.
Exactly.
And they come into politics because, like, he started the thing by saying, remember, politics is a career. It's not a calling. It's not the priesthood.
Yeah.
You know, like, you become a priest because you're a devout Catholic, for example.
Sure.
It's not the same here where you're like, I want to be a politician because I just love my country. No, this is a career that you choose.
Mm.
And in that career, as you say, you start and run businesses that are not yours.
Yeah, but I also don't think, I mean, having been in politics for a while now myself, I don't like the idea of career politicians at all. You know, I like the idea of career civil servants.
Sure.
So, excuse me, people who work in departments. You know,
I think police, nurses.
I like that. I like that. People who work, even let's say the sports department or the education department. I like those behind the scenes people.
Yeah.
For institutional knowledge sake, I like that. But the idea that you can be a career politician, I don't like it because incentives are gone to do better. I do like that even ministers have to worry about their jobs all the time.
Sure.
It's the patronage that I don't like. I don't like the idea that a lot of them come with no actual experience of anything besides politics.
Yeah.
And that's probably one of our biggest
downfalls. It's like in the private sector, they'd never be absorbed into anything.
Yes. Some of the ministers.
Because they're not...
Yeah, some of the ministers who are the highest ranking people in their certain departments, if they left the ministry today, they would never be able to get a job.
Yeah, that felt.
You could be the minister of health.
Perform.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You couldn't do it because you have no experience of how to do anything in the real world. When you just know that in politics you can move your way up to the point where you've got two mansions, one in Pretoria, one in Cape Town, have security, have free flights. But the actual real world experience that comes with, like, knowing how to run an actual business, like the small business minister. Mm. Has she ever run a small business?
Herself. Yeah.
You know, because I look at some of the policies that are drafted, and that's why I wanted to get into politics, for example. Okay. Because having been in business for a long time, I used to get frustrated with the most random red tape where I was like, hey man, there's some policy to make this easier. I mean, something as dumb as getting your employees onto UIF. You know how long that takes and how hard it is to get employees? It should be a call. It should be an email. That thing takes forever. And that's just one thing. But even business licenses in general, where I'm like, there's so many things that are hindering, because without being like cliche, small business is the backbone of our country. So small little unsung, 100%. Hiring 20 people there, hiring 15 there. You know, when I was still
hiring
business,
20, 15 people a million times over.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. There's a bunch of them. I mean, when I was my peak of my business, so about 3 years ago, we had 35 people working for us. And that's just me with my small little business of restaurants. I can't imagine how many all over the country are doing that. But the red tape and things that hinder them from thriving and getting to the next level is so overwhelming that a lot of us end up just closing shop. You know, a lot of us just go, you know, it's not worth it. Let me go back to a corporate. I'll take my check. Like AKA said, you pay the price to be the boss. You pay a lot of prices to be the boss. And when you have to deal with government bureaucracy and things never getting done, or applying for things that never show up on time, or going back and forth with SARS or nonsense things. So that can be very frustrating as a business owner. I know you are too, and so are you. But I think it gets to a point where you're like,
me, I'm a criminal, my man.
I think one of the funniest things, like for a small business waiting for a 90-day payment from government. Like, the fuck?
Nonsense.
The small business must do the job.
And carry the cost.
Carry the cost.
Well, 3 months, you must pay all those people before government pays you.
Yeah.
No.
Which, again, it's like, are you guys trying to help us grow? Or are you trying to see us fail? Because that one is giving see us fail.
I think the latter, yeah.
Because 90 days, it's a good point, BH. It's just like, why?
Yeah.
You know, what is taking 90 days to process it?
Because it's gone, Imali. Like, Imali, we know what the budget is there. We know it's been budgeted for.
But
so to release,
why must I wait for 90 days?
It's bureaucracy. It's paper pushing.
Yeah.
Who signed off where? Who's going to sign off that one? And if they're technically doing it right, they're trying to show what you are. Then I did send it to the DG. The DG did confirm with the relevant people. But it's all nonsense, man. I think 100%. A lot of it is exactly that. You want to see us fail.
In corporate, you understand it, because it's like corporate companies, they are in the business of running their business.
Yes.
At the same time that they are supporting your small business.
Yeah.
So when they pay after 90 days, it's understandable that what was budgeted, what needs to get done now, is being budgeted for in 90 days or 60 days or next month, you know. But 90 days is still a reach. I'm talking
about. It is a reach.
Whereas with government, it's like, no, but guys, you decide your budget up front, okay? You have a speech about it. You know that these things need to get done. And by and large, it's the same stuff in the same sectors.
Yeah.
It's mundane like that.
Yeah.
The things that government needs to get done are not like new concepts.
Brand new.
These are, you know, these are things like the trash needs to be picked up. There needs to be security. There needs to
be
water and
electricity. Well, the budget gets charred in between that too. Now it's a matter of, where do we find new budget for that? Because we see that happen all the time. Yes, we can say I budgeted 100 million for refuse collection for the city for whatever period.
Yeah.
We know that in between that, and we see it happen all the time. Some friend of a friend of a friend has charred that budget now.
Yeah.
Now they have to go back to Treasury and go, hey, we run out of budget.
Because they never really run out.
No, because the money never ran out. Somebody did something.
I saw a tweet today saying that Gauteng, wasteful expenditure of 4.5 billion.
Yeah.
I mean, what in the fuck? And this last week, I had a meltdown on Twitter with City Power and Joburg Water. There was no water. Okay, I saw on ENCA, people in Bedford View had no water for like 14 days.
Get out of here.
At the point
of
which
out of here.
They were speaking to this timer, and the timer is like, yo, this thing has always worked, bro. Don't let them fool you. There's fucking nothing. It's sheer incompetence. Right?
100%.
In town, the situation was that there was no water from last week Sunday. It only came back yesterday. So we're recording this on Monday, so call it a week. A week with no water in a densely populated place like the CBD is a disaster.
Absolutely.
Then the power goes off on Friday, joining the water crisis.
Hours went off yesterday for the whole day.
My man. And then, you know, I tweeted them and I said, you guys, again, mundane stuff. When this happens, this is going to happen. It's been like that forever. If there's no power and there's no water, people have to get water from somewhere. So you know where people are getting water from? The fire hoses. So now you've got fire hoses all over the city.
Open.
People are jumaing them. They're opening them so they can load their buckets, and then they leave it running. Fuck up. With the electricity thing, if there's no electricity for 3-4 days,
and
keep in mind, I'm not saying that things don't happen. They were not communicating what the issue is. No one knew what's going on for 3 days. Mm. What do people start doing? They start cooking indoors with open flame and gas.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like you've got a building. There's 300 apartments. There is 1,200, 1,300 people living there.
Buildings
if
already
they're cooking
dilapidated.
With gas and they're fetching water from fucking fire hoses, you're a disaster.
Absolutely.
When that building catches on fire and 80 people die, they're going to say, oh, no, they were vagrants or what's the usual excuse? You know what I mean? These people weren't supposed to be there. No, you were supposed to do your job. And that 4.5 billion in wasteful expenditure, bro, you could have made a plan.
100%. And I think you're right. I think incompetence is a big part of it. But I also don't, I think that the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing half the time in government.
Mm.
I think people don't even know who they're meant to be reporting to. It's so bloated, government in general. And I think if you take even COJ, there's so many people and so many layers of nonsense bureaucracy. It reminds me of when I worked at the SABC, where there was a manager for this, whose manager was that, whose manager...
Yeah. And which is also government.
It's government. Yes. And I'm like, what is this one doing in there? Yeah. What's this one doing? What was Natano doing?
Why
there?
Are they two people? Yeah, bro!
What was his job?
What was his job?
I don't know, but he worked there. And so same story...
He worked there and he would like book DJs from there, and then because he was your boss, now you felt... You know what I mean?
Obliged to do that, yeah.
Hey, bro, that guy, you know, he once took me to a colored club in Cape Town. And he was like, nah, dogs, my people, don't worry, dog, we're going to pull up. Wait, man. You know what I'm saying? I went there to the Galaxy, my man. Obviously, I get to the Galaxy. You know, colored people have never seen a colored like me. They're like, yo, which one is this one? You understand?
No, but shout out to Natano. He's a nice guy.
No, shout out to him. He also didn't understand. He didn't know.
I don't think he knew what was
going
on.
Bro, we pull up at this fucking Galaxy place, my man. Yes, sis.
Yeah.
Hands are trying to take photos with me. Now niggas are standing there. They're telling me, this is that gang. This is that gang. And I was with Euphonic. You?
No. Story.
I still escaped with the hands. But I mean, I almost died, bro.
But that's a perfect example where I'm like, I don't even think some of the people in the building there by COJ know what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, I think they just show up to work and then they're either pushing papers or doing nothing at all.
We saw it in that recent hearing with that municipality in the Free State.
Yeah, yes.
They're asking, what
services
and
do you provide?
And that is such a pertinent question. Like, never mind all of this. It's like, Mvo, wenzanwena.
And that's the city manager like, and the mayor.
And he's like, strategic.
Strategic planning and services. And it's like, okay, give us an example. But my problem
give
is that
an example
that's a city planner, city manager and the mayor.
Jeez.
Now think about the levels below them. If they don't know what's potting and what they're meant to be doing, how the heck are we? Do we expect then that anyone in that building knows what's going on? Or even showing up for work?
Yes, and where's the 160 million rand being spent?
To the ghost employees that don't exist because they put people's ID numbers and families' names in
check.
And then they take money. And
bro, that's what they do.
It's too much,
Look,
too much.
I'm glad it never happened to your wife and she got her Sasa grant. I mean,
Sasa!
Barike!
Nasfas!
Nasfas!
Thank you to Nasfas. We don't have student loans at our house. Me because I dropped out and because when she was on Nasfas, so we're fine.
Then. I also dropped out, fam. Worked out well.
No, I'm going back though. I'm going back.
I'm done.
Hey, bro, I've been trying to go back.
That's
1 year, Henley. Postgrad.
On your I wanted to say something about Nasfas. Did you guys see now they were saying that Nasfas must write off the debt. People will be blacklisted for not paying back their Nasfas, right? And I agree.
I'm 2 minds about... Oh, hold on,
not blacklisted.
No, hold on.
Let me tell you why.
Wait. Okay.
Don't throw me under the bus.
Okay.
Right? The idea, the concept of Nasfas is...
A loan.
A loan. Wait. You study. After studying, uyosebenza. Right?
If you get a job.
Now, if you get a job, I think you should pay back. However, I think that it should be catered to... Whatever it is you're earning. Because I don't think that somebody should have to... Let's say I earn 15,000. I don't think it's fair to say, of that 15, you need to pay back 2,000 a month.
Yeah, okay.
You understand?
Okay.
I feel like the amounts... Because I was looking at that whole thread. And like some of the payback numbers, I was like, you know, you do realize that when people have that degree, leave varsity and do get a job, they're not earning 50K.
Yeah, exactly.
They're earning like 50... You've got to take what you can get.
Yeah.
This is the thing. You also can't turn down the 15K. Because then you won't be working at all. If someone is not employed and has the Nasfas loan, I don't think it's fair to blacklist them. But if someone is employed and can afford it, it requires a level of scrutiny that I don't think they're ready for.
Okay.
And again, policies in general in South Africa are always a blanket approach. Mm. It's like, they're not paying back, fuck it, blacklist all of them. No. we need to look at each individual case and understand where is PH. Ooh,
who's
maybe PH
that?
Is working for
us. Who's going to do that here in our country?
Then you can't do it.
Yeah.
You see,
yeah.
You've got to have the levels of checks. And I know they can. You know, I always, there's two examples I use of they can if they want to. One is the Gautrain. They built that thing.
Yeah.
You understand? So, Bangakona, if they really decide to. They built the Gautrain. It's fucking amazing. It's a great thing. I wish it would expand.
Even now, when they did Maphorisa's show, the Scorpion King's show, the way Prasa was operating,
you see,
everyone was
so
like...
So they can, right? The other thing is SARS. The way that SARS runs, they are able to scrutinize, with the number of employees SARS has, they're able to scrutinize every fucking rand that you earn from everywhere. So don't tell me you can't do it. You understand? You're talking about an institution approximately the size of, with the budget of SARS. You can run Nesfas like that. You can look at everybody and say,
"Usebenza phi lo muntu?" The IT number,
yes. That's why I agree with it. If it's done properly, I think, because it's unsustainable for Nesfas to keep paying for people to study and then they don't pay back on the other end. That's not going
to
work.
So I was going to echo those words to say, look, it's wrong on the basis of obviously taking advantage of, you know, this loan that you know you're never going to pay. So, but obviously I'm just like, hey, blacklisting you.
Blacklisting is a big one.
Now we're already starting on a negative. Now when I go in, now I'm blacklisted and I can't do this and I can't.
Can't even get your cell phone contract.
Do you get what I'm saying? So for me, I think blacklisting wasn't the word, but rather, limit your.
Graylisting.
Credit your.
Bro, in fact, a separate, let me change what I said. You know your TransUnion, your Experian, your credit bureau that blacklist you for not paying your car, not paying your house or whatever the case, or not paying your
Edgar's
account.
I know them well.
Those ones. Yeah. Hey, even me.
I know those ones well.
I don't know them. They know me, dog. They keep phoning me. I'm just like, yo, my nigga.
What must I do?
Right? So they need to create a separate credit bureau of some sorts that honestly manages Nesfas only. Because Nesfas is a... It's a circle.
Yeah.
You're supposed to leave varsity, leave school, get the Nesfas loan to study something. Once you've studied that thing, on the end, when you leave and you get a job, you are paying back so that the guy coming up, you understand, the grade 8 when you started, someone needs to pay for that nigga. So your money that's coming back in is actually covering him. That's why I feel like it needs its own separate blacklisting institution.
For more students as well, if people were paying back.
Thank you. Yeah. Then you'll be covering the next generation of students. But it's got to have its own... like you said, grey listing.
Yeah, it's tough. And I think, I want to agree with you. And I do agree with you. But it's tough, man. I think the idea of free education, as much as it might be some like fairy tale land that we live in, I think if we could deliver on that. And once again, I think if we look at our budget as a country and just how much money that SARS takes in, for example, because the budget's really, the country and the government itself, the government in particular, is only good at two things. They're only good at collecting our money, and then they're good at having the monopoly on violence with the police and the army, you know. But as far as like,
well, not even really. I mean,
because of private security.
Shit. Yeah,
but I'm just saying, as far as like, they have the monopoly on violence in the sense that they can do it, and you can't do anything about it.
Yeah, they can do it back by legislation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They've got the power to put you in prison for not paying them the money that you worked for.
Yes.
That they're going to misuse anyway, and there's nothing you can do about that. You know, they'll just take you. But I think there's certain situations where I'm like, hey, man, if you come from a downtrodden family or perhaps maybe like a horrible upbringing and you were able to, for some reason, get good enough marks to get into university and study a great degree, and then we come out of university, which is a common problem in our countries, that you come out with your big degree, so it might take me 5 years to get a job that's not McDonald's or not at a restaurant. When? Because waiters, what are waiters making these days? What, 5-6 grand? When? How much of that must I pay back to Nesfas? Because then why am I paying for my transport? How am I going to pay for any place to live? I'm going to pay for food, and then also have to worry. Even if Nesfas says, oh, no, it's only 500 rand for you. I don't have a spare 500 rand. Even people in the middle class don't have spare money. True. Even with, let's say you are earning 30K a month. Your expenses at 30K, let's say you have a child, not even two children, a child and maybe...
And you live somewhere in the north.
And it's just one apartment or a one or two bedroom apartment. Guys, you don't have any expendable income right now. And so, I look at myself and I make very decent money. I look at someone.
We had noticed. We saw what you pulled up here.
Came in an Uber.
We told him, please, he put his Rolex there. He was wearing two watches like Kenny Kunene.
But I look at myself sometimes and I'm like, hey, man, I don't have any extra money in some months. So If okay, I'm yeah. in that
come
position.
In on that point, though. Yeah. Come in on that point. That's personal preference. That's personal choices.
Okay.
That, cool, even though you earn decent buck, you've gotten your lifestyle to the cost of, hold on, to the cost of that decent buck. What I'm saying is, as NFSAS, who is, it's a government body, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, yeah, it's overseen by the government.
It's overseen, right. But, so, yeah, it's
but what I'm saying is, it should either be a thing where it's like, if you qualify, we give you this money and you never have to pay for it. Or if what they're saying now is that we're struggling to get money, then at least, you know, when signing, know that at some point, maybe 5 years after graduating, you need to start paying a minimum of 500 rand a month. I'm just making an example.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, that's a good point. Is the qualification for NSFAS.
Yes, exactly.
It needs to really be looked at because... one of my very good friends is in like student accommodation and obviously NSFAS pays him and he looks at the students that stay in some of his places and the chat we were having, he was like, you know, to be honest with you, a lot of these kids don't deserve this NSFAS loan that I get paid for them to have a room. They fuck around, they're at the posse the whole day, they just drink. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of them are diligent students. Yeah. They're trying to study. Remember, everyone that's in there is a NSFAS recipient.
Yeah,
sure.
So he's saying, I look at them, Mina, as in, like someone who went to varsity. I went through the same thing. I also got NSFAS.
Yeah.
I also graduated NSFAS. I started my business, etc. Now we are here. And I look at these kids and I'm like, what are you studying? No, I'm studying 1, 2, 3. Okay, how was your marks in school? And he's like, these people will tell me their marks in school and what they're studying now. And I'm just like, you shouldn't get this fucking loan.
Yeah.
Like the loan should be based on, you know, if you apply for an internship or scholarship, right? The likelihood that you'll get the scholarship if you are studying something or interested in something that is not saturated.
Yeah.
Very high. If you say, I want to be an actuary, I'm young, I'm black, and I want to study actuarial science, right? Bruh. If your marks are there, they'll pay for you. I can get you a bursary tomorrow. You know what I mean? Sure. You can walk into any corporate that needs it, they'll pay.
Yeah.
But if you say, I want to study corporate communication, BA.
Oh, gender studies.
Yeah.
And you're like,
and now you're like, NSFAS must pay.
Where are you going to work?
Well, now you're not benefiting us as a society.
So I like that.
Mina, I don't want to pay tax money towards... this nyaga nyaga of yours.
Like
sorry,
that.
We don't need that check.
Maybe that's a good way of auditing it then.
Yes.
It's like, okay, cool, fine. Marks-wise, you qualify. What is it that you plan on studying? And then every year, NSFAS must review your marks to see, okay, cool, he's keeping up.
Yeah.
This one's going to leave here and be able to get some sort of decent job and adding back to society.
That's it.
But if you've got a degree that really has no potential outside of going back and teaching that same thing, I don't know. Maybe then you should be looking for your own.
Either going back and teaching that same thing, activism, or attending national dialogues. That's not a craft.
Yeah.
You know, sorry to everyone at the national dialogue. It's not cool. You know, remember during Fees Must Fall as well. This is another thing that happens with NSFAS. During Fees Must Fall, one of the brewers that was leading the charge there was like
a
34, right? He was on his third degree.
Yeah.
He'd been at Wits for like 12 years or 13 years.
SRC
and NSFAS was paying. And I was like, no, this one is greedy. You see, now he's leading the Fees Must Fall movement, which he basically led into, you know, in the beginning, all these movements, they start out on some, this is like a South African problem.
Yeah.
Movements start out where we're like, yeah, man, fuck it. You guys are right. Why is that shit so expensive? What does Wits University and all the others do with all the what do you call it? The application, that admin fee you pay to apply. You know, they're talking about, 90,000 people applied at 200 Rand, but 6,000 were accepted. Can it not be redirected to this? And it's not, I know for a fact that the universities redirect a lot of funds into who can we help. Obviously, they can't help every single person. But honestly, we can't keep helping everyone, right, with money that actually should go to the most deserving first. I think it's going to get us to the goal a lot quicker. You know, this is like a crabs in a bucket scenario now we're playing with, where everybody just gets NSFAS funding because I'm young, I'm black, I'm disadvantaged. That's not enough. I mean, we have white people that need NSFAS as well. Your wife, you know, she obviously chose something that's not saturated, a black husband. It's not for white wives out here, dog. Rachel Colise is losing her mind.
Oh my God.
Shout out to Rachel, man.
I think for me also, just that, and you mentioned it, was when it comes to marks, I don't I don't recall Nassus having a thing of like, it was like, okay, cool, you've qualified, here's your money, here's your pick and pay. I think we had a pick and pay voucher back in Varsity, whatever.
You know. Were you also on Nassus?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude, I don't know if you know, PH came up hard, dog. He used to cross the river to get to school.
Nassus is old then, eh?
Oh,
I thought it was like a new thing. Like once I had finished matric, I thought it was
you niggas.
Nigga, this guy is like 3 years older than you. no, I'm just joking.
No, man, but it's just a qualification thing where like marks every quarter, every whatnot. And if you don't qualify like into second year, mfana, maybe say ngiphisa imali yakho. You know?
No, say don't. I'm fine. Yeah. You have to keep qualifying.
Like being on a scholarship.
Yeah, a scholarship works exactly like
I was
like
at school. To also strive. My whole of high school was on scholarship. And one of those conditions were if your marks drop, you will not have your scholarship. You'll have to pay for yourself.
I went to UJ on a scholarship. When I got there, I did well. I think I had three distinctions or something.
Yeah.
And my first year was essentially paid. I think my first year cost something like 4,500.
Okay.
Because everything was discounted based on my marks.
Yeah. Sure.
I did well in first year. My second year was free.
Look at that.
You understand? Because how I performed in first year. And that was a UJ thing.
Yeah.
Right? So UJ, if UJ is able to manage it like that, why is it that Nesfus can't go and pull on the brightest minds in academia? Because who are you paying for?
Yeah.
You're paying for students.
Yeah.
Go to the universities and say, yo, you niggas are taking this much of our money.
Yeah.
You run the thing. You take the budget and you run it. You know, like our
Wait, the students?
No.
You say university. I was gonna say,
the university has got the expertise. Government does not have the expertise. I'm not giving that thing to Bladen Zimande
tonight.
I think it's going to be a fuck up. Look, you know what I mean? Let's be honest. My thing is, that's how I think Adrian Gore made this point about the NHI and like, you know, medical aids. He said medical aids run the way they run and private hospitals run the way they run because they are run by people with the expertise to run them.
Mm-hmm.
The Department of Health is a fuck show because it's run by people with zero expertise to run it. It should be handed over to, or not handed over to, but it should be overseen by the people who are experts in that sector. And I feel like in the Nesfus sector, the people that you're giving this money to every month, which is the universities and the technicons, those are the people, the boards that should be sitting and saying, how are we looking, managing this thing from who we give it to how it's paid back.
Yeah.
You understand?
That's true.
The money mustn't come, I'm not saying it must come into their account, but they need to have dominion over it.
I also think if you're going to be on Nesfus, you can't be in student politics.
I think that should be a qualifying.
I think you shouldn't be on it. Because what are we doing here?
Why are you here?
What's, get your party that you're part of. They must fund your education then so you can continue doing that thing.
I thought you said you don't like to be controversial.
No, I don't think it's controversial. I think it's very common sense. I've never been a big fan of like student politics and how it takes over campuses because I think it reduces from the reason of why you're there. Listen, I'm all
exactly
for
like
young minds.
Must fall.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm all for young minds being aware of what's going on in the country and perhaps standing up for their rights. But when it becomes your whole varsity's identity is which SRC, who's the president of the SRC, which political party is in charge
there.
Yeah,
yeah,
and when you see political parties,
each other comrades.
And I'm like, my brother, you're here to get your summa cum laude and then you must leave and go do whatever you want there, you know?
Yeah.
So I think Nesfus must also look at that when they do these things. Who's in student politics here?
What can I ask you, because I know that you dabbled in a bit of politics.
Yeah.
What would you change first?
What position would you...
Yeah, what department would you want to be in and what would you change?
Oh, several. So, I mean, I think ideally, small business.
Yeah.
If let's say, in a hypothetical world, I was a minister for some reason.
Yeah.
Either that or international relations. So international relations, obviously, because I've got a keen interest on geopolitics. I always have from a very young age. I follow everything that's going on in the world. I read a lot about what's going on in the world. I also have family ties overseas, so I've traveled a heck of a lot. I like diplomacy. I'm a big fan of diplomacy. So that would make sense. But also, like I said, small business, you know? Small businesses, enterprises minister would make sense because I've been through the frustrations of it all, where I'm like, as a small business person myself, this is what was hindering me from the government's point of view, not just like every day how to do this thing, from the government's point of view. And if I could make any sort of difference policy-wise there, I would do that. Obviously, the most obvious one that most people would think of is arts and culture. I'd never do it. I think that should not even be a ministry by itself. I think it should be combined into two different ministries. I think you should put it with tourism. I think that should be one ministry. Cut off all the too much fat in government.
Arts, culture, and tourism.
Because I think they all lend each other something.
Yeah.
You know?
I actually think I think sports should be on its own.
Sports should be on its
own. Yeah, and then maybe arts and culture go with tourism.
I get the thinking, but on the example we made earlier about how...
Of development.
Not... If the model that you are using as your justification for why it's sports, arts and culture is rugby, fine. Because there is the arts and culture element to rugby, if you follow it from a high school level all the way up, look at the camaraderie around rugby. Uh-huh. We just said, you go to a varsity cup game, it's packed.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? That one makes sense, but that's probably the only sport. If you go to a soccer, cricket, hockey, any other sport game, it's empty.
Yeah.
You understand? Nobody is supporting. So... separating that and making its own department, sports alone, I think would get us a lot further. That's
yeah, I don't know. And the only reason I probably...
the expertise of sports.
Yeah, I just don't... The only reason I wouldn't back that is simply because I can't... That would add another ministry now.
No, Angiti, you're saying... Tati arts and culture.
Fagene
tourism.
Travel. Okay.
Travel. Travel and tourism. Sounds like a degree.
Sounds like what I studied in grade 10, bro.
You see, right? So you take that one, you put it there by tourism, and then sport, you let it stand alone. But I'm saying it can only stand alone if the same level of development is kind of, you know, give every sport an equal chance. Maybe we have Serena and Venus Williams hanging out somewhere in Mtanzane.
Sure.
We don't know because tennis isn't even looked at. Maybe we have Tiger Woods there in Alex.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because a lot of sports are obviously like an access thing. You're not going to, bro, there's no golf going on in the township.
I mean, so it's but a country like club you is said, great, eh? And cheap.
No. Yeah, but the people that go to, so it's a very small community.
Yeah, you're right.
And when you look at the amount of space that golf courses take up, I really think we can put a few more bodies in there. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Why are we not even looking at it? It's because there's no budget for golf.
Yeah.
You check. The budget goes to soccer, but soccer's going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
The budget goes to rugby, but honestly, rugby could run without even falling under a debate.
They've got enough sponsors and
You know what I mean? Yeah. Their billboards are on the corner of Grayston and Sandton Drive.
I mean, they're on airplanes.
Manega. So you understand, it's like, how do we delegate that? But yeah, okay, so you say that's the obvious one you would take.
That's the obvious one, but I don't think I'd ever want to do that. Mm. I think...
Small business,
I think.
PH wants
probably
to do
be,
it.
What? Art
Sports.
And culture?
I would.
You know what I think about being the Minister of Art and Culture?
It's I probably would too. We'd do it though because we want tenders.
Exactly.
We don't give a fuck.
I think it's the most
We're
fun portfolio.
Eat,
of all the portfolios, it's the one where you look at the minister and you're like, oh, he's at everything.
Yeah.
He's having a good time. All he does is show up and he smiles and waves.
Hmm.
Behind the scenes, I have no idea what Gayton McKenzie's doing half the time.
Well, we know he doesn't know Kat Matlala like all the others.
No,
I've
never heard of them.
If you don't know Kat, bro, it looks like you can't chow. So
I think that's an easy way out to be the Minister of Sports, Arts and Culture.
I know.
Come on.
Just hold on.
Before we get ourselves calling now.
Sure, boy.
It's Kat.
Is that Kat?
I said it already. Yeah, send the e-wallet. Sharp. It's
Hey, I don't want to get myself in trouble.
Yo, guys.
This is how we're going to end the episode. I'm not trying to get myself into shit.
Yeah, there's certain people where I'm like, I don't even want to talk about them.
You say you're on my helicopter. Yo, they're coming to arrest you now.
Just delete this.
The head of the Hawks just called me, bro.
Oh, no, man.
Warwick. But yeah. Okay, cool. I think small business makes sense. But also, it's just like, again, it's someone who's got the experience. Like, bro, starting five businesses and also having the maturity of ending those because it's just like, okay, this is not working.
It's not working,
When is no one to quit?
I actually, I interviewed Sheldon Tatchell from Legends Barber. There's the Brurad also put in that portfolio.
Yeah.
Because he explained, when he was explaining himself in terms of like, me, this is what I learned. And I mean, now,
mm-hmm.
you can hardly call it a small business.
No.
But each franchisee is running a small business.
Yeah.
Legends is a behemoth, right? But if you look at how it developed into, how do I copy and paste this model for small business owners so that it works? And how do I remove as much of the bureaucracy as I can to make this process seamless?
And what do small businesses need? And I think a lot of the time government writes policies and sends ministers to like different conferences to tell us what we need. And I'm like, hey. That's not even close to what's really going on the ground.
Yeah, listen to them talk and you're like, what the fuck
are
you talking
about? Do you have any fucking idea what you're even talking about?
Did you watch the president's speech at the National Dialogue?
I've got no time for that.
My brother,
I saw the part where he said, as a country, we need to figure out
why are taps dry?
Why there's so much unemployment or something like that? And I was like, bro, as a country, nigga, is that not what job we elected you to do? Like,
I don't know. It's like the whole speech, because they've been having them, because the presidency handle or the government handle uses ChatGPT to come up with the tweets, and it leaves the ChatGPT, not the caps. It's like the cap, the, what do you call these things? The dashes, and the emojis, right? Symbols.
Wow.
And people are like,
this
is literally a ChatGPT tweet. You motherfuckers are tweeting with AI. Now, someone is being paid to run that account, and they're using ChatGPT.
Yep.
In the same way, it's like that speech was pulled from, what is the most generic thing I can say to these idiots? And ChatGPT said, say this. Talk about how men and women don't earn the same. Hello? You are the head of an organization that employs over 200 people who earn the same.
Yeah.
In fact, all of them are earning too much because they're fucking idiots.
Absolutely.
By and large.
Absolutely.
Where do men and women not earn the same?
Yeah.
That's not even a point. That's not our fight.
Exactly.
It's not our fight here, Chief.
Goes back to everything else wrong with government, where it's like there's somebody hired. He hires speech writers. He's got spokespersons.
And then he doesn't pre-read the speech.
No.
So then he comes out here and it's like he's uttering the words. And I'm like, bro, what are you doing?
He's got a home minister, which, by the way, if there was ever a useless ministerial position, it's that one.
Minister in the presidency
for communications. Yeah. Guys, Kumbuzo Mtshavheni. And I'm like, guys, what is her job? Because he's already got a spokesperson. He's got a director, communications liaison, media liaison.
Mm.
What is the minister of in the presidency for communication? Because outside of that, we've got the communications minister. So the country has a communications and digital technology minister. So
maybe they've run out of titles.
Yeah, I think so.
I think they sit around the table and they're like, what can we call PH? Because we need to just give this man something.
Absolutely.
We have to come up with the
patronage.
Title for
it's
you.
It's patronage. Yeah. He needs to eat at some point. So you've been with me for 30 years.
Yeah.
I'll give you something that gives you these
But I'm
going
to call you the... Yeah. And then it's like, no, that one's already duplicated.
Yeah.
Because ChatGPT only came along now.
Yeah.
So if you're using it to come up with labels, it's going to give you ones you've already used.
Could have come up with new minister roles.
That ChatGPT, I tell you what, it's not a fix-all.
Yeah.
That goes to everybody in the media industry as well. Your ideas are actually shit. Yeah. We can see that you wrote the
copywriters to you too, eh?
Fuck you guys.
The amount of copywriters, I do a lot of voice work. And I get there and I'm just like, oh, this is obviously ChatGPT because no one proofread this to know that it wouldn't fit in 15 seconds.
We actually need to do an episode on like the misuse of ChatGPT.
Yeah, so dude, my son's school sent me an email. I sent them a response. I wrote the response myself. There was even typos in it. I left them there. Because I was like, how dare you?
Mm.
ChatGPT a response to me, you motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you about something serious. Yeah, I'm saying 1, 2, 3, 4, and you're addressing it to ChatGPT. It's like, how do we calm the bushman down? You know what I mean?
Not the bushman.
Bro, joke's on you. I'm not even colored.
He's black. He's from KZN.
Know what I mean?
No, but there are some positives, obviously. I think ChatGPT, I've used it several times, but I think you can't just rely on it.
Yes,
so sometimes I'll put a prompt and then put my own voice on it.
That's
you know, put my own twist.
But your face, it can't do your whole job for you.
No.
Oh, wow.
But it's going to take everyone's jobs.
Can't work.
ChatGPT.
All right, Bafet. I know. Sibonge kakhulu ke we Mfoka James.
Baba kubonga mina, kubonga mina.
Umfana ka
James.
Umfana ka James. Waza. Hey, Numzane.
What do you have going next, bro? What's happening next?
So, of course, I've just joined the drive show. It's been about a month that I've been doing the drive now with Tando.
With Tando.
Mm-hmm. And don't worry about it.
You're an open guy.
No. I will say it's...
It's a strong chick.
It's decent. Mm. It's very decent.
Is it more than Saul Penduga's chick?
Oh, wow.
I don't know how much he was earning.
Hold on. No. But let me say something, though. Like, it's not even about the chick. The platform that he's on allows for more money to come into it.
I would say exactly that. You know, radio for me, it's like I've never, and not that I've never looked at it as my main money maker, it's just never has been.
Yeah,
I think it's everything that comes from being on radio.
But what I will say is, because I know MCZ's got a clean brand, is I will say that I've once received a written offer from said institution.
Yeah.
The check's there. Stronger than any other check.
No. You know what? Really good money. And it's mainly because it's government and no one knows how to run that place. Guys, 5FM paid a lot of money.
Not me.
Not like the offer I got from you niggas, dog.
Not me.
Aye.
No, no, in no. Fact, even that, I know what happens there by you guys. Five FM, even, bro, Metro and Five, I paid peanuts.
You know why I think I got paid a lot? I was very close with, at the time, the station manager. And yeah. I made a big case about getting a raise.
Sure.
Who, Justine?
No, after her was, for a while, it was Liesl. Hefke.
Oh, yeah, Liesl, yeah. Very close to Liesl. And Liesl was, when Justine was station manager, I think Liesl was
marketing. Marketing. She was marketing. She took over, and I was cool, like, very close with her. She gave me like something stupid, like a 50% increase or something in 1 year.
God damn.
And I remember going, oh, if I had just start doing more shows, like standing in and stuff.
Yes, because
you invoice
it.
947, unlike most radio stations, we are not independent contractors. We're employed.
Oh, it's a
business.
Yeah,
benefits,
you're employed.
You know, so
really?
We got a salary.
Yeah, bro,
benefits.
You're an employee of Prime Media.
Yeah, you get paid leave, medical aid, all that stuff's part of your contract. For certain shows, though. For certain shows.
Aban betu seba pumile. Fetu msizi melas fagin about you, bro. You know how long I've been calling Anele? She doesn't take my calls.
I see you at the gym.
No, man.
I'm telling you, I asked her, can I come hang out with you, Sizwe and Trevor? I asked Sizwe, can I come hang out with you, Anele and Trevor? I asked Kaya, can I come hang out with you, Anele, Trevor, and Zizwe.
And Kolisa.
You understand?
Forget about Kolisa. X, yeah.
You see, I didn't have X's number, but look, bang Ziba, bang Shia, go red.
Oh, it's a close circle.
Really?
One. Yeah, so yeah, I mean, with certain shows. So all the daytime guys, 6 to 6. 6 to 6. You are.
So the special shows, weekend?
Independent contractors.
Some on IC contract. But remember your 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. or whatever, 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. Those brewers, Prime Media doesn't have like a let's see what happens approach.
No.
They're taking them CZ James and they're like, sharp, we've got a 10-year plan with this guy. Not a 2-year plan.
And they lock you in.
Yeah.
You
even Anelle spoke like about it when she said that, no, her contract is like this.
It's locked in. And in her, for example, her and Tando won't have the same contract
not
dates
at all, yeah.
Because they would never want to lose both of their prime time talent at the same time.
Yes.
So which, they're very smart.
Very
like
smart.
They lock in your contracts for longer than most stations. It's not a year-on-year like 5FM. You know, you've got multiple years in your contracts, and then they also overlap other people's contracts. So smart. Prime Media will
which
never
is
find
actually,
themselves.
Which is so important in radio. And so it's smart. Just not something that, well.
But not even just for the radio station. I think it's good for us. I think it takes away that anxiety of March.
No, 100%.
It takes
then geez,
also
like
the stability
foremost,
of it all. Yeah. You know, it's like when
and
I was
listeners.
Five trying to apply for a bond when you got to go see the guy upstairs, what's his name, Keenan or something, for payslips.
With a one-year contract.
Exactly. Mm. Where now, at least, it's not an independent contract.
Yes, that's why PH and I are still homeless.
Stop it, guys. You guys are nonsense. Mm. You guys work very hard, both of you.
My
right?
Man, we brought you here so you can tell our teachers.
Who's there?
We are also 32.
Who's program manager? Put us on.
Who's program manager? Oh, Greg, man. Remember Greg and Lucky?
Really?
Greg? Yes. Greg Aldridge is the program manager.
Okay.
And then
I met him twice on two occasions.
Well, because he left radio completely. He was working at what's that man? Simon Parkinson's company. What's it called? They do like media stuff. I forget what it's called. But
bro,
when
you start rattling off famous white names, are out.
Sorry.
He's
it's
also
like, brother, Gavin Verige's company. Okay.
No, he worked for Blue Label there with Gavin Verige. Yeah. But so Greg is back and he's the program manager there.
Okay.
But I mean.
So put us in there. What's the story?
Cool. Which show do you want?
Yeah? Which show can we get?
Who can we take out?
Who's on 12 to 3? Mo?
No.
Mo's 9 to 12.
Nah, Mo's my nigga, man. You on 3 to 6?
No, isn't. Yeah, who's
Zweli is
12 to 3.
Zweli. Aye, we take Zweli.
Then who's
we're taking Zweli.
Now?
Zweli, bro.
Who's in the evening?
Zweli.
Bulele, who I co hosted with
Zweli.
On the evening.
You have been chosen.
Zweli.
Okay.
Let me chat to them.
No, bro, there's no
my
way
brother,
we can do that slot. What?
But let me tell you
sponsors
something.
Sponsors would lose their minds.
No.
Hello? Huh? Malcolm X. Who's Zweli?
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. We're
no,
out of
here. No.
I'm joking.
Zweli's in there.
Malcolm X. Have you seen those closet dudes, man? They do that prank where they walk on the phone and they come stand.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They,
yeah. Again, yeah.
And then they're like, he's like, Shosho put, come over. Bring me like Mrs. Yeah, who ya, Pandit? Mshaya, Mshaya.
So funny.
Dubule.
Now, what I will say about 947 is, and just in closing about them, is that I think they're very good at retaining talent too. And that's part of it.
Yeah.
Because you watch every other radio station and that thing seems to switch all the time.
Yeah, man.
I
say it because, honestly, at the time, I was speaking to 947 for long, bro, when Ravi was there.
Mm.
And I'm sure I can tell the story now. NDA is expired.
Okay.
But I was going to go work there, right? And like, it was a nice offer. It was a big offer.
What show?
Bro, over like 6 months we were talking. I came to Joburg Day. Some dude flew in from Australia to come and meet him.
Oh, wow.
Like, it was a serious, serious talk. And then I got to see how the operation operates, you know? Yeah. But there was a guy there who was the boss at the time who was unceremoniously discharged and escorted out the building.
Omar.
Asik. Yeah.
So that was a long time
ago. It was a while ago, okay. Yeah. So when that was happening, obviously a lot of stuff changed and the conversation not went nowhere. But I was also like, where I was at the time, they were coming at me and I wasn't really keen.
Yeah.
You know, and Ravi was like, yo, I'm telling you, you got to do it, man. I was at five. I was at five, leaving five.
Okay.
Like 2016. And I didn't want to be on radio anymore. But obviously, like I say, the checks that they get offered there, well, at least at 947 is working. It's the most money I've ever seen on radio. And I was pretty up there.
That's good to know that they were offering that money because when the next contract negotiates. Hey, man,
no,
I learned also,
you know, that's an assessment I made before. That time, I trained it because that chick, what is her name? Perrin Dooley.
Yeah, from Gaga.
She was like, she was earning 3,000 a month, you know? And people were tweeting me about Gaga's here, and they were like, manje waras when buhola malin. And I said, mina, 3,000 an hour, right? Remember, we spoke about me and loot.
Yeah.
I was obviously being sarcastic, but it's not too far from there, right? But I realized something in when Kath was also, I used to lecture on radio at some point. I actually got invited to do one in Durban now.
Yeah.
But one of the other people that was lecturing before me at Boston, guest lecturer, spoke about how, because the industry was different 10, 15 years ago, when your Freshers and your Aneles and your Cesar Romos and your Garretts came on, Radio Star was the Messi Ronaldo of the game.
There was no Twitter. Yes. There was no
Instagram. And me and Mac G were the last Messi and Ronaldo.
Yeah.
You know? Especially at Y, at least. Because remember, Y feeds through to everywhere else.
Yeah.
And when we got to Y, we were the last ones that jumped. Everyone that got offered shit after that was like, no, we're doing you the favor.
Yeah.
You see? And that was a call from the top. That was like an ETV, Sabido Holdings call. To say, you're paying these motherfuckers too much. We're giving them a nice platform. Why do we pay them so much?
Mm-hmm.
But because we were already in, they had to kind of continue paying us what they paid us. So when I moved to 5FM, I was coming in hard because I was earning a lot of money and drive time at Y. You see, and I remember getting there and the talks with Natana and other people was like, yeah, we pay you too much money, man. Because what are other cats earning, you know? Which is not good for the game.
Prime Media taught me, I'll say this about them, they taught me that contract negotiations are negotiations.
Mm.
Here at Five and every other radio station, this is what we're offering you. Sign it or
fuck off. Or fall off.
I mean, every year since I've been at Prime Media, it's been a negotiation. Sometimes involving my agent and my lawyer.
Mm.
Sometimes it's easy because the offer that they offered me, I'm okay with. I mean, especially this year joining Drive. It didn't require too much external stuff because what they were offering me was an increase anyway and a substantial one. So I didn't fight that.
Yeah,
but I've had years where I'm like,
I just need a check.
No, exactly. But I've had years where legitimately it took, even when I left 5FM to go to Prime Media, because they called me. When I went to 947 for 5FM, I think it took about 3 months of back and forth with my legal and head of legal there, with station management, just to take out certain clauses. You know, we think we must sign these blank contracts with, this is how many podcasts you must do, this is how many appearances you must do.
Yeah.
No. Remove that.
It starts like, even take advantage
the termination clauses were changed in my first contract ever. And so it took back and forth, and then we met each other eventually, because it came from that thing of, I didn't ask for this, guys. I was cooking there at 5FM at the time. I was on my morning show with Stephanie B. We hosted together there, and I was having fun. So when they called me, that was the first time I was like, let's negotiate.
Mm.
Okay, money. Then they're telling me Five's paying. I said, hey. But I didn't ask. I didn't say, bring
but
me
But at
yet.
That stage of the game, you were already on. You had a white wife.
But,
boom, nine, stop it.
But I think I made the call at the right time, because as we've seen, I mean, we were the last group of 5FM people before the station just started doing its own thing.
When I heard their numbers,
I mean, that's also
like, it's not a only their fault thing, you know. And I've said before that if you look at anything beyond like 2018, sort of coming into post lockdown, bloodbath, when traditional media came out of lockdown, they were fucked.
But fucked. If you're going to fix that, like a lot of these stations have, like Prime 947 still kills it.
That's it.
You're going
and they
to
still
have,
pull numbers in real life. Exactly. If you look at a thing like Joburg Day.
16,000 people sold out.
Packed.
You know, a panel in the club. Just a breakfast show sold out Sunbet Arena. Sunbet,
you see?
You know, just to do a live breakfast show. And so it's like, I think if 5FM, especially that one, because I have a big attachment to 5FM. Having brought me to Joburg and shown me really a good life and were good to me, is I think if they had just solid management, people who knew what they were doing, I don't even know who's in charge there.
But because it falls under the SABC blanket,
that's the problem. Where it's like, you can have great station management, but top,
out of all the stations, they were the private, they were
the private school. Yeah, the private. It was a private school.
Yeah, they were the private. Yeah, Five was the private school. Everywhere else, like Metro and all that this bureaucracy that you
there was 100%.
We all liked 5FM. We got there and we used to operate white hands.
Okay.
Yes. Anyway.
Okay.
You heard what he said. He said they broke up because he joined 5FM and he had his fun. The man was DJ.
No,
was
stop
a, bro,
it.
The guy was at rage, bro.
Girl, you will delete the door.
But I can't.
What else? No, yeah, man, I just think, yeah, that was always like the private school, you know, kid.
They left us alone.
Yeah.
They left us alone. That's why it was so much fun. I think all those stations have their different things. I mean, 947 being so corporate teaches you a lot about the business of radio.
Mm.
5FM, the creativity could run wild because they left us alone. You know, I'd listen to the wild stuff you did at night with Tumi back in
the day. Bro, and that time they were leaving me alone because they were just lazy.
Yeah.
You know, niggas don't do their jobs.
Yeah,
Mike, that's true. I still have my SABC access card and it gets me in there. No one has cancelled that shit.
Now they will. Cancel that thing.
I'm joking. Oh, but like for long after, my thing used to work.
No, you're right. Okay. Me too. I'd go there for...
Yeah.
You know what I've always found funny about working at the SABC is when I was in the building... Every week, without failure, I'd get either a text or a call from the TV license, and they'd say, "Please come pay your TV license."
Really?
And I always said to them, "Guys, but the TV license is so you can pay my salary because that's what it's for. It runs the SABC, and then they pay us."
Supposedly.
Yeah. Since I left, they've never called me ever again, eh?
Really?
So I don't know if they were just calling the employees there.
Yeah, well, you got to start your circle small.
And the office was right there by Metro. Even though it was 200, I don't think I ever paid a day.
Nah. That is a lie.
That's
PH
a lie.
What you'll find at the show is that PH lies a lot.
Rand.
Mr. Good Guy.
Okay. 457 rand.
Per year? No, bro, it's cheaper than that.
No, do you know why?
Okay, here we go.
Because there's a business where we're required to pay, we're required to buy TVs.
Yeah.
And so I can't buy a TV without my license renewed.
Okay.
So when we're buying for student housing stuff and whatnot, it's like, oh, okay, cool. Hey, if I'm buying the TVs, chief, please put, you haven't paid your TV license. So therefore.
Yeah, but I mean, then buy the TVs at China Mall.
Oh, buy them at cash converters.
No, they also put
TV.
Hey, they put trackers.
There's a guy at
trackers.
Cash converters who's got his own TV license.
No. Listen.
And he's buying, you can buy them. Like 20 TVs on his name.
Wow, that guy's got 15 TVs.
No, the guys who sell stuff off...
Gumtree.
No, not even Gumtree. Wow, Gumtree.
Facebook Marketplace.
No, man. Off the back of a truck. Now they put trackers in TVs. Know
that?
So what?
So if you were to buy a stolen TV, right?
Mm-hmm.
From someone, whatever. Guys can rock up at your house and be like, oh, you stole this TV.
Yeah.
Oh,
look,
no.
the stolen TV market was booming after the riots in 2021.
Oh.
Like in Durban, you could get a LG, UHD, Spanban, Infana, 100 inch, 5,000.
Yeah. No, so now...
Bro, I bought like three TVs.
I had a TV
in my kitchen.
The guys were saying,
for no reason.
I had a TV on my fridge.
TV in the bathroom there for no reason.
guys were saying that we're not selling TVs right now. Guys would be like, hey, no, those are hot. Can't sell those.
I didn't know there was tracking devices in those things.
There's none in the ones from lockdown.
Oh, okay.
From riots.
From
July. I don't even have mirrors. Na my camera, na my TV. Man, it's
Sizi, thank you for your time, brother.
Guys, thank you for having
me.
What
a pleasure.
Been a big fan of both of you.
Thank
not
you,
just
man.
The show, but in general. I've watched you both for a long time. I've known you both for a while. And you guys are killing it here.
Thank you.
And when Juarez decides that he doesn't want to do the show with you anymore, PH,
call me there.
I'm more than willing to come here and do it with you.
Mbala, you must actually come and please, you can come and stand in for us now and then.
Not us, you can't both be gone.
No one will be gone.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
No, we'll I mean, I'm just going to call him no Craig.
But you call him no Craig. Ulaki. Craig.
It's always interesting to me that people...
Kuluma no Greg Lucky.
Okay. Luckily for you, yeah. I'll speak to Greg.
And then speak to... see what you did. And then speak to... Uzweli. Uzweli. Uzweli.
Uzweli.
Uzweli.
Uzweli. Uzweli alone.
Malcolm will phone Uzweli.
Uzweli, Peter Grant.
Uzweli killed that evening show, man.
No, I know. He's good. That's why I feel like he'll find a job anyway.
But my question is, I'm always interested in like you guys who leave... traditional media, how many people still, even Mac guys, I speak to Mac a lot.
I miss radio.
As much as he speaks shit about radio, that guy loves
it. I love the dude. And so, he's such a purist. You know, MacGyver, I always, the most talented individual for that thing. From when we were 19 on YFM, he was just super, super talented. But unfortunately, he has his
own worst enemy.
Common challenges of people leaving the traditional media, it's not really the platform itself, it's the people you deal with. So for me, it was the new management on both occasions. At five, I left because I was just like, I can't do this. It was clashing with my schedule.
You were very,
schedule.
Very busy.
Extremely, And then at Metro, there was new management who wanted to offer me an evening show. And I said, I left five because of an evening show. Because
I'm a DJ.
I'm a DJ.
What, I have my why, own affairs.
Yes. Why can I not negotiate for a show that fits in my...
On most cases, it's usually people who leave. It's not because of what they did on the show, but usually the management that they
do. Yeah. I was
fresh and the home soonery thing.
Yeah.
System.
Yeah, I think that you're right. I think, I mean, stability of management is so important because new management comes with their own ideas, who they like. And when you're a program manager and a station manager, especially if you work at a station that's not heavily regulated, you can come in and make your own calls there. Prime Media doesn't work like that, boy. Can't just walk in there and say, hey, the way I like to wake up in the morning is I don't like to listen to Anele. There, Jonathan Proctor will tell you to get fucked.
Jonathan Proctor, fuck. Jono, yes.
No, but I'm just saying that their strategy that this person is making us money and they're checking. We don't care what you think.
No, 100%. So I'm fully with you. I mean, that was one of my biggest pet peeves when I joined 947. And I did an article the other day for Drum and I was saying in the 5 years or 4 years that I've been there, because I got there in 2021.
You were in Drum?
Drum magazine.
You mean Ice Canoe, bro.
Stop it. I told them that in the 4 years I've been there, I've had 4 station managers and 5 program managers.
Because they keep changing.
Exactly. Yeah. There's been a lot of instability. Now we're fine. But I think...
For now.
What saved us, unlike if I had been at SABC and that happened, is that we have a layers of it where it's like, okay, it's not one person making that call. The program, it's Greg business. Is not showing up and going, ha, when I don't like you at that time, you gotta move. It comes through different people that have now done a lot of research. I mean, 947, Prime Media's research department is huge.
Yeah.
And they go survey people and go find out, do you actually like this person? Is this a sound you want for the morning or the afternoon or
and
whatever
people
it is?
Are not basing
it's not
decisions.
Based on your personal feelings of how you
decisions
feel
are not based
night.
On who the boss is chowing.
Are we getting money from you being there? Even if you don't like them at that time slot, you're not a big fan of whoever does that time. Doesn't matter. Is it working for the business? Are the listeners all happy with it? Sharp.
Sure.
Much more deep.
It's first priority. Yeah. I bet Kulumanai. Thanks for coming, Gano.
My brother.
Appreciate
you. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
See James is out of the building.
Making Hill Chris proud. Shout out Hill Chris.
Make sure you tune in to 947, 3 to 6 p.m. Shameless every day. Plug. And also, I own a solar business. So if you need a big.
My brother, furniture. You
I'm not in the furniture game anymore.
You had furniture, coffee.
Yeah.
Solar.
But
furniture, coffee,
Amangwina.
Hey, this guy, bro. This guy in a caravan. He's to sell.
Like, subscribe, you know the vibes. We'll see you again in the streets next week. We're out of here. Speaking of
But I'm not insane, man.